Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat.
Good afternoon to everyone connected to the satellite Amazonas and to the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication through the internet, and those who will later listen to and read what will be spoken in this Bible study on this occasion under the subject Preparing Ourselves for the Fulfillment of the Prophecies. Today, Friday, June 14th of this year 2024, the day that we remember the birth of our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago. And we are thankful to God for having sent him in the midst of the church, bringing us the good tidings, the news on behalf of God, where we were receiving from the Lord through him everything that would be happening in the dispensation of the kingdom, as it was in the encounter of this mighty archangel to the Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago, before the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord as Lamb of God in the work of redemption. And notice in Luke, let us search the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, where it says, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth." He was sent by whom? By God, which he, at the end of when that 2016 was ending, there he spoke more openly about where he had been sent from and what he had been sent for. And he told us there that he had been sent from the presence of God to bring the news, the good tidings, which here in this scripture, he is identifying himself as Gabriel to a virgin spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." The angel is the one who told Mary what name to give that child. This angel is Gabriel, the one who named that child. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." He spoke to her there the good tidings of the child she would have. Now let us turn to one scripture that our brother Wina read to us in this subject that we have for today, Preparing Ourselves for the Fulfillment of the Prophecies, which was preached on March 18, 2012 here in Cayey, Puerto Rico. He reads there on Philippians 3:20-21 and Hebrews 10 from 35-39. Which we read here In the portion of Hebrews, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And there to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And after tarry, there he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11, and 19, 11 to 19. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, preparing ourselves for the fulfillment of the prophecies. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, the 0 hour in the divine program, preached on January 2nd, 2000, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, we have reached the most glorious time of all times. At this time, the archangels of God, according to what the archangel Gabriel said to the prophet Daniel, Michael will stand up, that is the archangel Michael, who stands for the children of Israel. And when great events in the divine program are going to take place, God sends Gabriel with the revelation to make known those things that will happen. At the time of Daniel, he sent him to the prophet Daniel. At the time of John the Baptist, he sent him to the priest Zacharias for the time of the birth of Jesus and for the conception of that body in the womb of the Virgin. He sent him to the Virgin Mary and for the birth of that word Son. He sends him to the church bride at this end time. He sent him to give those good tidings, because every time a dispensation is about to end during those dispensational interlaces, God sends those archangels. Notice, let us turn here to the book of the ages, where our brother Branham tells us there, on page 171, he says, the word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was He, Himself, to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He Himself acted at that time and fulfilled His own word of promise in the Virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message, but the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled at that time all that was written of Him, because she accepted His word to her. The members of the Virgin Bride will love Him. The members of the Church Bride will love Him, because He comes for His church, for His bride. Notice in the message that we are going to see today, there is a place here where He says, our brother William says, in the message that you will be listening to, he says, therefore, we must be what? Prepared. Prepared for our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming at this end time, for the redemption of our body, which is our transformation. There are great blessings in the coming of the Lord at this end time. And therefore, the elect of the last day will be how? They will be loving Christ. And loving what? Let us see what Paul tells us that they will be loving. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It is for those who love his coming. It is for those who are waiting for his coming. To whom? He is revealing to at this end time. Those who do not love his coming will not receive him. As simple as that. The members of the Virgin Bride will love him, and they will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first shown him by the Father, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Notice. Here in the book of quotations, there is a part, an excerpt where it tells us, on page 153, paragraph 1365, it says, the life went right into a shock. There on the right, he writes, shock. And below, the little draw of the part of the seventh age, that is a pyramid without the top part. That is the pyramid. He only draws a part of the seventh age. That little square there. Above he writes, shock. And the shock come forth almost perfectly like the wheat. But finally, its folly was made manifest in the last 8 or 10 years. Especially in the last 3 years. He underlines 3 years a whole lot. Now, what does it do? Pull away from the wheat. And again, he underlines all that. Pulls away from the wheat. And above he writes, in the last 3 years equals its folly. Now, our brother William continues to say, our brother Branham, our brother William, because his name is William also. But when we refer to brother William Soto Santiago, well, we say our brother William. And when we refer to our brother William Aaron Branham, well, we say our brother Branham. But notice, our brother Branham tells us here, he continues to say where we left off, page 172 in the Book of the Ages, edited, those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Which work was the church bride supposed to carry out? Notice, back then, the work that Mary had to carry out was the birth, for God to carry it out through her. The birth of his firstborn son, of that little body that came by divine creation, which she gave birth to. Now notice the church bride. She, it says there, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work. What did Mary fulfill back then? She fulfilled the first coming of the Lord. What work has God left for this end time through the church bride, through the spiritual Mary, to fulfill the second coming of the Lord? Now, our brother William continues to say, in the message that we are reading, the Zero Hour in the Divine Program, and now, here we're going to read something to conclude. In the message, the second coming of Christ, in that message, the Reverend William Branham says that the Archangel Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. And he says that the Archangel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. Let us look for it in that message. On page 4, he says, now, that may seem like a very odd scripture for the second coming of Christ. But it's speaking of the second coming of Christ. He read the scripture. Beginning this message, he read the scripture of Luke, chapter 15, verse 8. And this great subject that we have here before us now is one of the most vital subjects in the entire Holy Writ. There is nothing so important as the coming of the Lord Jesus. For if he does not come, we have been found false witnesses. Our dead that in the graves are perished. And there is no hope left for us if Jesus doesn't come visible the second time. Now he says, if he doesn't come visibly the second time. Notice on page 166. Of paragraph 1486. Let us see here. 1481, let me correct. Page 166, paragraph 1481 says, when it's inspired to you to see his presence here, of St. Mark 11 or St. Luke 17:30, that he's going to reveal himself in the last days among his people in human flesh, like he did before Sodom. And when the true genuine vindication of the scriptures of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ, there on the right he writes, last day, that you had heard what he done in his life, and hear the scripture say he's the same yesterday to the end forever, and just before the Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see Jesus return amongst his people, forming human flesh, and do the same things he done. My, it ought to strike our souls to glory. And he writes on the side there, rapture. And below that paragraph he writes, Jesus comes in flesh. And on top of that paragraph he also writes, Jesus in human flesh. Look, on page 59, we pause there in that message, the second coming of the Lord, to read to you these portions so that they are also included, searched, and read. Look, on page 62 of the Book of the Ages, edited, he says, and the three apostles did see just that, the order of his second coming. They saw him transfigured there on the mountain top. His raiment was blazing white, and his face shone like the sun as it zenith. And there, as he appeared, stood Moses and Elijah on either side. That is exactly how he is coming again. Truly, Elijah will first come and turn the heart of the children, bride, back to the Father's apostolic word doctrine. How would he come? with Moses and Elijah, the Son of Man with his angels. Now, let us continue here where we left off. And in the very, this light, in the very light of the second coming, was so important that this Holy Week that we are now approaching, that Jesus, when he was approaching it at the first time in the very shadows of the cross, he spoke very little of his death, burial, and resurrection. He spoke more of his second coming than he did on his death, burial, and resurrection. So in the light of this, it must be a very important subject. In the Old Testament, there is many times more scriptures in the Old Testament pertaining to the second coming of Christ than there was to the first coming of Christ. Everything to the human race, now after the atonement has been made, rests solemnly upon the second coming of the Lord. Now, we have different religions and we have different motives and different theologies, but our Christian religion is based solemnly upon death, burial, and resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord. Oh, it's an important question. And as we are now approaching to my most sincere thoughts, we are living in the very shadows, and he writes there, type, of his second coming. And below he writes, the shadow of the second coming of Christ being reflected in the seventh angel, that is, in Brother Branham. Because the messengers, when God sends them, in the Old Testament, they were reflecting, typifying what the coming of the Messiah would be in his first coming. And the messengers of the ages, notice, they were showing, pointing to, representing, typifying the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. There, to my way of seeing it, by the light of the Scripture, there is not one hope left for the church outside the second coming of the Lord. And above he writes, the only hope of the church, the second coming of the Lord. The world, in its wild pandemoniac condition, has got completely out of control. Of every man-made organization in the world, kings cannot hold their subjects no more. Neither can dictators hold their subjects anymore. Democracy cannot hold its subjects anymore. And there is no hope left but the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbelieved and sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. And I'm going to read that sentence again. And it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbelieved and sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. There on the left, he writes, judgment. And it's the most blessed time for the believer, for his redemption is at hand. There is two factions in the earth tonight, the believer and unbeliever. The one the Lord is coming to receive, and the one the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, will bless one and will curse the other at his appearing. And he writes, appearing, coming. See that the coming of the Lord is for those who love him, because there is wheat and there is tares. There are children of God and there are children of the devil. We are not all children of God. There is a seed of God and there is a seed of the devil. And he comes to bless his children, his attributes, and to curse the children of the devil. And being that this is such a vital thing, I think just before, at the eve, rather, of our little revival, that we should look solemnly and into the scriptures and see how close that we are. If I wanted to know what time it was, I would look at my watch. If I wanted to know what day of the week we was living in, or the month of the year, I would look at the calendar. And if I want to know the approaching time of this great event, I look at the Word of God. It tells the time when it is at hand. What did our brother William tell us? What did he tell us in his message? Search the message of Brother Branham so that we wouldn't miss the fulfillment of what he foreran. Because as he foreran it, that is how God must fulfill it. For the Bible said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. The time is at hand. It was such a great thing to John the Revelator on the Isles of Patmos that when he saw the preview of the coming of the Lord, when he saw the curses that rested upon the unbeliever and the blessings that rest upon the believer, he screamed out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." It so thrilled his heart after all he had seen, the events before his coming, he screamed, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And when the whole church age had been passed in his view, and he seen everything in measure, the way it would happen, then the scream, "Come, Lord Jesus." It must be a glorious thing that the coming of the Lord draws near at hand. He saw the blessings that rest upon the believer, and he also saw the curses that rested upon the unbeliever. Now, our brother William continues to say, that is a great mystery, which at this end time would be opened to all the elect of God. He says that the only hope is the second coming of Christ. There is no other hope for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, only the second coming of Christ. In the same message, on page 11, titled The Second Coming of the Lord, it tells us, let us see here. We would have to read just before that. Let us look on page 13. It says, Jesus Christ, God's Son, likened this, he said, to a woman. And in our subject tonight, we find this woman. Her husband had gone, and she had lost one of the coins out of her tablet. Now, I will try to explain that. Today, if a woman is married, she should wear a wedding ring as a sign that she is married. That is to keep other men from having anything to do with her. They look and they see she is a married woman. In those days, they didn't have wedding rings. They had a tablet. They call it tablet. They put on their head and had 10 coins. And it went around their head. And that was a sign they were a married woman and no man was to fool with them. No boys was to flirt with them. They were married. Each one of those coins, if we only have time, but I haven't. I'm going to try to keep my word as close as possible. I could tell you what each one of those coins meant. It was placed in there, and each coin meant a certain virtue of that woman. The first meaning her love to her husband, second her pledge of virtue to live clean for him, and the third and fourth and fifth on to the ninth and tenth. If you want to look it up, look in Galatians 5. You'll find out that that woman represented the church, and the church is a spoused wife to Christ. And the tablet that the church is supposed to wear is found in Galatians 5, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. That is the tablet that's supposed to be worn in the church. Brotherly love, kindness, fellowship. And this woman, when it, three dots, it must have been along about dark that she realized that she had lost one of those coins. Oh, if there ever was a time that the church ought to take inventory to find out if you've got all the coins on, it should be now. It's getting dark. The very hunt and clouds of destroying civilization is hanging over the earth, sin and debauch on every hand. We're living in a tremendous time when there is wickedness. People who go to church just for a sham. People who go to church to try to hide from their meanness. People who go to church and profess Christianity and live like the rest of the world. Drinking, smoking, gambling, women immorally dressed, wearing clothes that they oughtn't to wear in their own dressing rooms, out on the street before public. And brotherly love is a thing that's passing, almost. We have not lost one coin, but we've lost practically every one of them. And was getting night, and remember, her husband would return. He writes on the left, in the evening. And if he found her with one of those coins out, he showed she had been marked a harlot. And if she had defied or defiled herself in any way, and it was seen by the people, they brought her before the priest and brought witness that she had been found such. And the priest, seeing that she was a married woman, took the coin out of the tablet that she had been doing wrong by. If she had marred her virtue, they took that one out. If she had been flirting, showing that she wasn't true to her husband, they took that one out. Whatever it was, they took it out. And when her husband returned, he found that she had been marked, and he would divorce her immediately and have nothing to do with such a woman. So it was getting along toward dark when she realized that she had lost something. Time for her husband to come, and it's getting late. Therefore, so it was getting along toward dark when she realized that she had lost something. Time for her husband to come, and it's getting late. The church barely be examining themselves by the word of God. Our purity, our loyalty, our devotion. We've become tattlers, tale-bearers, cigarette smokers, backbiters, painted up Jezebels. Everything in the calendar that the rest of the world does, the Christian church is associating in those things today till you can't hardly tell the one from the other. It's time we took inventory. It's getting late. And notice, then come some of those modern Jezebels and also ministers who, in a message, he says that all that's left for them is to wear petticoats instead of the clergy coats. Let's see if we can find that in that place where he speaks it in the indictment. Where he tells us, on paragraph 296 to 298 of the indictment, how even women and ministers come along trying to teach and show who is the fulfillment of what God promised and how God was going to fulfill everything when they're not ashamed to be showing and teaching and trying to explain what Brother William or Brother Branham or the Word of God, which was brought, what that means. In other words, they are showing that what God is fulfilling, what He promised, which was forerun by the Reverend William Branham, and the good tidings that were brought by our brother Williams of Santiago, that what God is fulfilling today is not true. In other words, they fight against the promises and the fulfillment of the promises. And notice, there he says, in the message, the indictment, he says, what's this woman taking off their clothes for and go down the street? Don't tell me it ain't the same thing. It is an identification. Don't condemn the men, but they're protected by a Sodom law. That law, ought to say, is unlawful for them to be out there. And preachers in the pulpit ought to have petticoats instead of the clergy coat, standing out there, and will permit it, and ashamed to speak against it because their denominations will put them out. You crucify to the congregation the word of God, which says, it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment that pertains to the man. Now look, a little further on there, right there, I condemn the thing. I accuse it of crucifying the word of God before the people. Bob hair women, short wearing, and the crown standing up on the choir. Now notice, they don't even know what spirit they are of. Could they know where the Spirit of God is working today? Now notice, he goes on to say there on page 15, now, in order, it was so late till she had to light a candle. Speaking of this woman who lost that diamond. That coin. Of the 10 coins, she lost that coin. He says, now, in order, it was so late till she had to light a candle, and she got a candle. Not only did she get a candle, but she got a broom, and she went to house cleaning. Oh, brother, if there ever was a need of a time of a lightning of a candle, descending forth of the gospel light. There on the right, he draws Star of David. The Holy Spirit back into the church. Not so much for emotion, not for some fantastics, not for some emotional work up, not for a jump for joy, but for a heart-searching experience when men and women get right with God. Right. We are at the end time. And on the left, he draws Star of David. And she lit a candle to give her light. And brother, every little candle in here ought to be lit tonight. Not only that, but she got the broom. And the neighbors could see the dust flying. She had a real house cleaning time, for her husband was about to come. And if he caught her with that one coin out, she was a harlot. Brother, we, the Church of the Living God, in these great hours that we're now living, it behooves us to check up, to go before God, light the candle of the word of the gospel. And there he draws a little Star of David, and he writes, the candle equals the gospel. Light the candle of the word of the gospel and examine ourselves and find out if we are not falling short, and especially when we see all these things coming. We're at the end time. The coming of Christ is at hand. There is not another hope in the world for the church. And above he writes, the only hope for the church is the coming of Christ. Now let us turn for a moment here to the message Mary's Believe, where he tells us on page 15, Let us read a little further into that next paragraph to have it there in that same excerpt that we are reading from the message, The Second Coming of the Lord of Brother Branham. That next paragraph, here in paragraph number 70. Let's finish reading it there, he says. And look, the church is lolling. The church has no conscience no more. You can hardly wake them up. The Bible said they would come in that condition when they said, lo, our Lord delays his coming. And they'll be devouring and biting one another, and so forth, and fighting around. It's just exactly that hour. Everything's ready. The pages is turned, as it was like that, and it's ready, the coming of the Lord. And on the right, he draws a Star of David. The Lutheran Church lost her light. The Methodist Church lost her light. The Baptist Church lost her light. Now, when he says lost her light, notice, the Holy Spirit has been in each messenger from age to age, and the messenger leaves, that light goes out, that eye closes, and the light goes on to another age with another messenger, and there it shines upon that age and those who belong to that age, on those who are called by the messenger of that age. And each time God takes a messenger away, for that group that stays there or remains there, that light goes out, and that group has to move to the next age, those who remain alive, move on to that other light, to that other time where that light is shining. It is the same light, but with another veil of flesh. That is, another veil of flesh, which I just said, to another light is to another veil of flesh, see? And there, God, through that other veil of flesh, that Holy Spirit, which is only one, there, he shines upon those on that age. Now notice, our brother Branham told us on page 154, on the Book of the Seals, speaking of the Holy Spirit that was in the midst of the church and that was there at that time, in that age. He says, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, see? He was shining there through the seventh angel messenger in that age. But he says that that Holy Spirit would become flesh. And we read there that Jesus will return among his people in human flesh. When this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now notice, he continues to say, here in this other message, Mary's belief. It says, on page 15, the prophet said there will be a former rain and a latter rain. And on the right he writes, latter rain. In the latter rain would be both former and latter rain together, a great church universal that would sweep from one side of the world to the other side of the world. And he writes, from one side, west, to the other side of the world, he writes, east. A great message, great sign and wonders would be accomplished by this church. And on page 32 in the Book of Quotations, now you are seeing how that which we read regarding that woman who lost that coin, and she found a candle and started looking for it. But remember what he tells us there, that she also found a broom, and she started to clean the house. The neighbors were seeing all that dust. Now, here he's telling us that there is a universal church, that it is in every part of the world, where he says there that it will sweep the world from one end to the other. Now you can see that tremendous picture there. Notice on page 273, on the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 32. Page 32, rather. Paragraph 273, it says, in the last days there would be a latter rain, and the former and latter rain would be together. Now, the first rain was in the east, the latter rain is in the west, and in the latter rain, both former and latter rain will be together. And he writes, east, Israel, the first coming, west, America, the second coming. He tells us in the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ. We will return to the message Mary's believe in a moment. Page 41 says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit from on high. The former and latter rain shall come together in the last day. All these promises through the scriptures been given. We're looking upward. Watch at the true bride across the nation this hour. Looking up. Church, he is coming one of these days. Just as sure as he came the first time, he's coming again. Get everything ready. Separate yourself from shock. Lay before the sun. Keep looking up. Be under expectation. And he writes, the Holy Spirit coming. And on the left, he writes, the coming of the Lord. All at once, we heard something from the top of the hill. A voice came down through the loudspeaker, said, all things are ready. Then this man, standing right there by the side of me, said, let the fire fall. Here it comes, pouring down across that mountain, a glacier of fire and blaze, and licking in sight to behold. And there he writes, the falling of the fire equals the coming of the Lord. Brother, let's get all things ready, for one of these days the fire is going to fall. We're going up. Now let's get ready for the fire falling time. We're in the last days. We all know that. And we're ready for the coming of the Lord. The thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. Let me say it again. The thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. Separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. Don't love the world or the things of the world. Let no man, by his creed, deceive you. You stay right straight in the promise of God, the Word of God. And that Word, if it is a word for this day, God vindicates it so. If He doesn't, it's not the word for this day. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. There he writes, God vindicates the word for the age. The one of the day of Pentecost doesn't work today. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride going home of the bride. We got something different. The Pentecostals represented that, again, we are in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would work in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul here. He tried to tell them, you are dead to that and you cannot have that. Church, you who I'm speaking to tonight across the nation, if you separated yourself from the denominations and all the filth and things of the world and all those things that keep you in man-made creed and orders and things like that, you separate yourself. Look up. Get ready. The fire is going to fall one of these days. God is going to let him come. And in let him come, he underlines it and also circles it. And there a line coming out and he writes, Moses and Elijah. and a sight to behold. Would you be ready when he comes? And there as well, he comes, he underlines it and circles it. The secret rapture of the supernatural bride shall be made from mortal to immortality, be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. On page. Let us see something here. Where? It says on page 6A, paragraph 59, on the Book of Quotations, I believe the time will soon arrive that when healing will be a miracle healing, will be such a common thing. We've got to get some rapturing faith in the church to go away from here one of these days. And there is where he draws to the left a little cornerstone. And he writes, of these days, from here one of these days, there on the right below the paragraph, he writes, the rapturing faith in the thunders, in the gospel of the kingdom. And above he writes, the rapturing faith, healing will be common. Now notice, he says to separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. And he says, man-made creed and orders and things like that, you separate yourself, look up, get ready. The fire is going to fall one of these days, God is going to let him come. Let who come? Those ministries of Moses and Elijah. Notice, that is the ministry of Moses and Elijah, which he said that at this end time, they would be in the midst of the church. Because if he had not left those ministries of Moses and Elijah in the midst of the church, they would have denominationalized themselves. And since he comes for his church, well, it has to be in the same way he came at his first coming. Now, let us continue here where we stopped, in Mary's belief, on page 15. Daniel said, the people that know their God in that day shall do exploits. That's exactly where we're living in this day. Now, the mechanical eye of the camera shows over us that that pillar of fire is the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Now, it's got to do the same things it did when it was in him, or it's not the same pillar of fire. But if it does the same thing, how can you doubt it? It's scriptural. Hail Mary, blessed art thou amongst women. Thou hast found favor with God. And on the left he writes, Gabriel said to Mary, O church, hail, blessed are you among the people, for you've found favor with God. You believed for eternal life, and God's give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. This messenger will be a true messenger of God, the Holy Spirit, which is God's message. Notice, Mary, as soon as she seen it was scriptural, she didn't say, I'll go over and see whether Dr. Jones says is right or not. She didn't go by to see if Rabbi Kabishki thought it was right or not. She never had nothing to do with it. You know what she said? She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. For she knowed that that word was God's word. And there below he writes, Mary equals the church, for the Holy Spirit to beget sons and daughters of God. Now notice, at what we were talking about on, I think it was Tuesday, where God showed us there that, notice, when Rachel gave birth to Benjamin, she died. That is, she did not give birth to any more sons. Notice, just like in the midst of the human race, in the midst of the church bride, God will not bring any more prophets. Neither would he bring more sons and daughters of God. In other words, the members of the church bride at this end time would already be inside the house of God, inside the church of God, in the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ. That messenger was God's messenger. That angel was God's angel because it stayed with God's word. On that angel he writes, Gabriel. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord said, how will it be? Said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and this holy thing that will be born to you shall be called the Son of God. She said, here I am. I don't know how it's going to happen. It don't make any difference. You said so. It's scriptural. I believe it. I accept it. She started right out praising God before she felt life, before she felt any signs of anything. She didn't want no more signs. Notice, that is what the angel said to Brother Branham when he was showing him what was happening in that tenth vision. Let us see here, in one of the places, let us see on paragraph 98, on the book of quotations. There it speaks about on page 13 where he says, he's showing him and he says, why in there? He says, the angel of the Lord said, this will not be a public show. Is not it written in the scripture of our Lord's words? See, he goes to the scripture because he's always scriptural. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There is also another place on page, let us see here, on 25. Let us see. Let us turn to paragraph 321. says, this is it, page 40, paragraph 321, it begins in the previous page. Look, there's a part there where he says, and I said, I don't understand that in there. And watch, he's always scriptural. That is the one I was looking for. He's always scriptural. And there, he goes to that scripture which we quoted there, from that excerpt that we quoted where he spoke of that. Now, our brother William continues to say here, Moses, as soon as he got a hold of God and seen it was scriptural, he went to Egypt. As soon as Mary got a hold of the angel, and she seen him and knowed it was God because it was scriptural, see? And Brother Branham also realized that angel was scriptural. She took his word and went around testifying of something that didn't even show one evidence of ever being. And on the right, he writes, a promise. And on the left, he writes, Mary took the angel's word. Another thing, she testified of something that never had happened before. There is where, on the right, he writes, a promise. Oh, praise be the Lord. She testified of something that had never happened. She never had a virgin conceived. But she had the angel's word, and the angel was scriptural. So she knows it was a promise. Now notice, our brother William continues to say here, in the message we're reading, the 0 hour in the divine program, he says that the only hope is the second coming of Christ. There is no other hope for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, only the second coming of Christ. Also in the message, the supernatural gospel, in English, on page 5, it says that God sends angels to the earth, and that when there are great events to be carried out on earth, God sends archangels. And he shows how God sent the archangel Gabriel. And he says that God sent the archangel Gabriel to announce the first coming of Christ. And he will be sending and will be announcing the second coming of Christ. He will sound the trumpet of God. This is a great mystery of the kingdom of heaven for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That message that he's quoting there, we found it here. It is on page 10 in Spanish, at least on this version. He says, you remember John the Revelator, when the book of Revelation was revealed to him, Jesus said to him, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to declare these things. John started to worship the angel, but a true angel will never receive worship. It is not the worship of angels, but the ministry of angels. Angels are ministering spirits sent from God. Hebrews 1:14. So when any great event is about to happen, God sends forth an angel to announce it. See? And look on page 2 from the book of quotations. Paragraph 10, it says, then before God sends something to the earth, he always sends his message. God sends his angels to vindicate or to verify certain things. Now, there's minor angels and there are major angels. Now, just before the coming of Jesus, God sent Gabriel, the great archangel. And above he writes, Archangel Gabriel. Our brother William continues to say, we have great prophecies about the coming of the Archangel Gabriel announcing the second coming of Christ. That is why, for the last day, the work under the seventh seal, and the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, what the seventh seal is to the church, is the seventh trumpet to Israel. Seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, seventh trumpet, Moses and Elijah. That is why, at the last day, the work under the seventh seal will be supported by the archangels Gabriel and Michael. The work of the seventh seal is the work of Christ at the last day. It says here on page 33, paragraph 282, which is an excerpt from the message Mary's Believe, preached on 1960, it says, and standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel. He's a messenger to the Jews. Remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. That excerpt is in the book of quotations. Also there in the booklet of the message Mary's Believe. We also have it here. But let us see there on page 33 what he wrote. Above that, that's on page 33, paragraph 282. There is where that portion is. And he writes there, Gabriel equals announces the second coming of Christ. Now, notice what our brother William continues to say. And in what we previously read, it says, he will sound the trumpet of God. Now look where the revelation of the seventh seal comes from. The revelation of the second coming of Christ, that revelation comes from heaven. It is a heavenly trumpet, the trumpet of God. And there is where the archangel Gabriel intervenes. Therefore, there will be someone on earth, like the prophet Daniel, to whom that revelation of God will come to. And therefore, the archangel Gabriel will be accompanying that messenger of God, because the archangel Gabriel is the archangel of the revelation. Therefore, the archangel Gabriel here on earth will be giving that revelation of the seventh seal, and thus the church of Jesus Christ will be receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ and receiving the knowledge of all these things that must come to pass. The archangel Gabriel said to the prophet Daniel, I will show you things that will take place at the end of time. There was a messenger in whom Gabriel was showing these things. And he also said to him, these things are for the end of time. They will be fulfilled at the end of time. We have seen here that there is an intervention from another dimension at this end time, as there was in each age and in each dispensation. And now, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be very blessed by Christ, and his archangels will be working in favor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be accompanying and protecting the angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ and every work. Now notice, who will those mighty angels be protecting? The angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. An angel is a messenger. He has sent angel messengers to his church. Well, in the last angel messenger that God sends to the church, in him is that he fulfills his coming. He is the one that receives the bright and morning star. He is the one that fulfills the promise of the tenth vision. The one who is alive in the midst of the church. The rest, their days on this planet earth have already ended. And every work that he carries out, he will carry it out together with the elect of the last day. With whom? With the church bride, the members of the church bride, those who love his coming. And every work that he carries out, he will carry it out together with the elect of the last day, with the mystical body of Christ, and that work will be prosper. And the archangels of God with their armies will be in favor of that work. In other words, the archangels of God, Gabriel and Michael, will support the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church of Jesus Christ at this end time. Notice on page 4, paragraph 28, it tells us, I truly believe before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. Got to have a faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. I believe there is a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God, that man will speak the word here and there and it'll flash like lightning. And a church is coming out, not a psychologist, not some of this put on, make believe, but a real, true, genuine, anointed Holy Ghost called out church. And there he writes, like lightning on the right side upward. And above he writes, he will speak the rapturing faith and a cornerstone. He draws the cornerstone and he writes, he will speak. And below he writes, the rapturing faith. All that on top of that paragraph. Now notice, that is the church bride, which is carrying out that work with that messenger. Notice on page 17, it also tells us there, paragraph 130, it says, that great Jehovah God, you know what he said? He just reached over and got a handful of atoms, got a little light, and poured it in like this, went whoosh, a body, and just stepped right into it, that's all. Said, come here, Gabriel, that great archangel, went whoosh, step in that. Come here, Michael, the angel on his right side, whoosh, for thee, you step in that. There on the right he writes, Michael, and above he writes, Gabriel, dash. And at the bottom, right there, Michael, to his right, or his right, his power. Now we see Michael to his right, that is, his power. Let us turn to page 9. Paragraph 73. He tells us, and at that time, Michael shall stand. There in Daniel chapter 12, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. In other words, Michael is standing. Today is the time. What he is speaking here, he is already referring to what is in the future. And today we already say, Michael is standing. The Archangel Michael is standing. And at that time, which time? This one. Michael shall stand, the great prince. Michael was Christ. Now, what is the word Christ? What does it mean? Anointed. The Messiah. The Anointed One. The anointing. Now, look, Michael is the anointing of God. Michael was Christ, of course, who fought the angelic wars in heaven with the devil. Satan and Michael fought together, or fought against each other, rather. And now at that time he said, as many was found written in the book, was delivered. And above he writes, delivered, 2 dots, Michael equals Christ. Now, let us see something here. Since God gave us there that part where he speaks of that anointing. Notice, in paragraph, let us see here, paragraph 103 of page 14. That paragraph tells us, speaks to us about the vision of the tent, or the tent vision. And we're going to read a part here where about halfway down, little more than halfway down, it says, I have been. There he's talking about the lady who was pushed through a door. She was on a stretcher. Let us read it. When I was set down, then I was beneath and standing up above a great tent. I never seen such a tent. And I had just made an altar call, seeming like down at the altar. There on the right, he draws a Star of David. And when I was down there, I looked, and there was hundreds of people standing around the altar weeping because they have accepted the Lord Jesus. Remember that by that time, when this will be fully taking place, all those people is not to receive their theophanies in order to prepare themselves for the transformation. Rather, it is for them to get prepared to go into the great tribulation and give their lives in the great tribulation. And I said, oh, that's more like it, like that. And a real kind gentleman walked out to the platform, said, while Brother Branham is resting, just a few moments, he said, we'll call the prayer line, and said, everyone with prayer cards beginning with a certain number. There where it says cards, he underlines it, and he circles it, and an arrow coming out and a Star of David. And he draws on the bottom another one. In other words, he draw two Stars of David. Everyone with prayer cards beginning with a certain number stand over on to the right. Well, I noticed that the prayer line seemed like it went all around the tent and out and down the street. Such a prayer line. And I looked over, which was then to my left, and that would be to my right. If I was standing on the platform, would be that way. There's a piece of canvas stretched there. And in behind this canvas was a little square building, about 12 foot across and 20 foot long, something like that. Well, I stood and looked at that. And to the left he writes 12 by 20. And I seen them bringing a lady up on a stretcher. And there was a lady there taking her name and things with on a paper. And so there's someone come and got her and push her through. And the next man come through was with crutches. I seen them go through that little building. And on the side, the lady come out, screaming to the top of her voice, pushing the stretcher. And then there was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman. And she said, what happened? She said, I just don't know. She said, I couldn't tell you what happened. She said, I have been paralyzed for 20 years, and looky, I feel like I never was sick. And on the right, he writes, 20 years paralyzed. A woman with dark hair, he also wrote that, referring to the one who is interviewing there, which is another one, in addition to the one that was at one end of the room. This is the one on the other side, toward the one facing the pulpit. There was another woman there. And just then, out come the man, leaping and jumping, with his crutches in his hand. And I looked at that, and just then, now here is something, notice close, here is where he will give a tremendous revelation. Notice close, there is a difference, and he writes, difference. There is a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light. Because I heard something moving, as it does when it comes here at the platform at night, kind of like a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. There the translator, he makes the sound whoosh, like the wind. Whoosh, like that, like the wind. And like a fire whipping around, licking blaze. And he left me. And he went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building. Then settled down on top of it. How tremendous, right? And then when he did, this one that was standing by me, behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there. And this is the third pool. But nobody will know nothing about it. And I said, why? I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? He said, it will not be a public show this time. Now notice what he says when he's speaking here about the angel and the pillar of fire. He writes next to it, the pillar of fire equals Jesus Logos. That is upward on the left side. And he writes, the angel of the Lord. In other words, in the one that we read, on the left side upward, in that little blank space between one column and the other, He writes upward, the pillar of fire equals Jesus' Logos. And below that one, writing upwards, he writes, the angel of the Lord equals. On top of the pillar, what he wrote above the pillar, he writes, difference. Now, there we were seeing that the archangel Michael, he says that was Christ. Now notice, and here he tells us the pillar of fire equals Jesus the Logos. Now notice that what the church bride has in her midst is the anointing of God. It is the power of God in the midst of His church. And he says there, he writes, the angel of the Lord equals, and we already know who the angel of the Lord is, Gabriel. And on top, above, he writes, the difference between the pillar of fire, the Logos, Jesus, and the angel of the Lord, Jesus. Notice the beautiful and great picture that God has shown us in these places where our brother Branham speaks about all that. Who Gabriel is, who Michael is, and everything he saw in the tenth vision. Whom were there? Who was the one working there? It's none other than the pillar of fire. It is the archangel Michael. It is the anointing of God manifested in the midst of His church, fulfilling the prophecies pertaining to this end time. Now, our brother William continues to say in the message that we are reading, he says, in other words, the archangels of God, Gabriel and Michael, will support the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at this end time, and then the Hebrew people. There is always an intervention in each age and in each dispensation. An intervention from another dimension, from the heavenly dimension. Notice the angel of the Lord appearing to Moses, the angel of the Lord who then became flesh, and we knew him by the name of Jesus. Now, we can see that we are living at a very important time in a dispensational interlace. And in the dispensational interlaces, the archangels Gabriel and Michael are always present. And when there is a dispensational messenger, the archangels Gabriel and Michael are present. In the time of Moses, they were present. In the time of Abraham, they were also present. And they even ate with Abraham. That is a great mystery, which is revealed to the church of Jesus Christ, because that typifies what Christ will be doing at this end time with His angels, the angels of the Son of Man. And further on the same message, he says, when that adoption comes, you will see that all the land we have will even be too small. Notice, that's why he says, that's going to be too small for Benji. It's going too little for him, all that land, that whole auditorium, that whole tent. All those lands are going to be too small for him. See? Because there, in that simple way, he was already identifying the instrument in whom God would be fulfilling the promise of the tenth vision. As simple as that. So God has provided us these places at the time in which they could be obtained. You cannot let time go by when there is an opportunity. You have to seize that opportunity. Because if you don't grab it, later on you will be saying, hey, there was an opportunity and I didn't seize it, and now the opportunity is gone. That has happened to many people. Because they haven't had a vision, they cannot see beyond of what they can see. They have not looked at the future to see what God had to do. And when we bought these places, we were thinking of what God is going to do. There is a place, let's see if we can find it real quick, where he says that at the end, he says that they thought, let us see here, where he says that at the end they would be rejected. or that they thought that they had it. Let us see quickly here. In the book of quotations, I saw it a little while ago when I was looking for an excerpt. I came up with that one, but I didn't write it down because I was looking for another one. I should have wrote it down, but let's see if we can find it quickly. If not, we will read it tomorrow in the words that God will give us for tomorrow's activity of ministers. I won't tell you exactly what he says there. However, let us see if it is here in the back part on pages A and B. No, it's not there. If I can't find it real quick, we will then read it. But notice the opportunity. He tells us, our brother William tells us, you have to seize them, because otherwise, opportunities like that don't come again. Now he says, and when we bought these places, we were thinking about what God was going to do. In other words, at that moment when we were buying those lands for the Great 10th Cathedral, to build it there, he says, so we can all see that there is a purpose in all of this. We hope that soon God adopts at least one. With that one, God will fulfill everything that is in the 10th vision. Notice the adoption of Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. After his adoption, he was the same. Notice, and then he carried out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. He had to be adopted first to carry out that work. Now notice, to carry out the redemption, the fulfillment of that prophecy had to be adopted. Where? That prophecy was being fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And for the claiming work, that instrument, notice, must be adopted to carry out that claiming work. And up to there, we will leave that part, because there are things that he is the only one who will know and comprehend and will keep him, so imitation will not arise, and they do not see how God is carrying out the way and why and all the work that ministry is carrying out, bringing the rapturing faith, bringing that separation, that segregation, and everything. That ministry, that instrument has something where every word that instrument speaks, everything is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. Now, let us continue on. We have already gotten into something very important, where we are going to be seeing everything that the church bride will also be carrying out, where that page 304, that scripture will be fully fulfilled soon, of which the Reverend William Branham says that what we have seen in part in those five manifestations that God showed through the Reverend William Branham, where we saw the mighty hand of God working on those five occasions. Notice the creation of squirrels by the spoken word. By the spoken word, he spoke the word at that storm and it stopped. Also the spoken word when he spoke that that tumor that was there on the side of his wife's body, Brother Branham's wife, he said, before the doctor touches her to operate on her, let it disappear. And it disappeared. Also the spoken word regarding the salvation of the sons of Sister Hattie Wright. And also the spoken word regarding the resurrection of the little fish. What you have seen temporarily will be manifested in the fullness of its power. It will be the full power of God, full power of God in the midst of the church bride, he says. So, we can all see that there is a purpose in all of this. We hope that soon God adopts at least one. With that one, God will fulfill everything that is in the tenth vision. And with the adoption of one, will come the adoption of all the rest, including those who are in paradise, including those who are alive. Because that adoption has to be carried out here on this planet Earth to carry out that work. Because a person of the sixth dimension cannot come to fulfill a program that is promised in the scripture and in the messages of Brother Branham to be in the midst of the people of the church bride, which was waiting for the rapture in faith. It has to be an instrument that is in her midst, the one who will fulfill that promise. God doesn't work any other way. It has to be the same way He has always worked. With that adoption, notice, will then come the adoption of all the rest. In the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, tells us on page 41, it says, blind Bartimaeus sitting by the gate, ragged, cold, oh, his weakest moment, when he heard a voice said, bring him here. That's right. Sometimes it's your weakest time. There was Mary at the tomb, heartbroken. Her baby, her boy, had been killed. Everything, all hopes, was gone. And she went to embalm him, and even his body wasn't there. And he heard a voice say, why weepest thou, woman? She said, they've taken away my Lord. Poor little thing. Was her child had been put to disgrace, stripped him stark naked, and hung him up there on a cross, and crucified him and nailed him up there after he claimed to be the Messiah. In other words, he told them, but notice, they did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. After she knew that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and brought this child, it was the child of God. She had seen his works and everything, and seen right at the weakest moment. Now notice, Mary saw all the works that God did through Jesus. The church bride, at this end time, is already seeing the works, the miracles, because the greatest thing before God, the greatest thing is His Word, the revelation of His Word. Then comes the vindication of all that with the miracles. And the church bride, since the beginning, is seeing, was seeing, is seeing, and will be seeing everything that that son was doing, or did, is doing, and will be doing. And at the end, notice, she, the church bride, the spiritual Mary, after seeing all of that, remember Revelation 11. And there Jesus had been stood against the evil, stood against those organizations, stood against those Pharisees, and become weak, and submitted himself unto death, and died like a sinner on the cross, bearing our sins. The very Psalms, the very prophet that they believed in, had quoted hundreds of years before the very words that he said at Calvary, and they failed to see it. That great ecclesiastic system did not receive him. "My God," said David, "my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 22. "All my bones, they stare at me. Not one of them is broke. They wag their head and say, 'He trusted in others. He saves others. He himself can't save.'" Notice, David spoke all of that being inspired. And all the things that the prophet has said was right there. And Jesus dying, holding that word, submitted himself. God Emmanuel becomes so weak that he submitted himself to death and to the grave and his soul to hell. Weakness. But out of that complete surrender came forth on that Easter morning, winding its way from the lowest. He was the highest and become the lowest. He came to the lowest people, went to the lowest city, and the littlest men in the town had to look down on him. That's the one which, that's referring there to Zacchaeus. Went from there to death, and from death to the grave. That is when Zacchaeus went up to the tree and looked down toward Jesus. Went from there to death, and from death to the grave, and grave to hell. To the lowest that could be got. To the lowest hell that could be thought of. He went to it. But then from there, God began to raise him up through paradise, from there to the tomb, and from the tomb to glory, and so high that he has to look down to see heaven, exalted his throne in heaven. That little broken-hearted mother, not knowing this, standing there. "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where." She was the weakest hour she ever had. Her Lord was gone. They had crucified him. Yet, he let this crucify him in the shame of hanging him up there naked before those people, and speared him in the side, and bleeding, and hear him crying on the cross, and seeing the earth shake, and the whole heaven recognize he was dead, took him down, stiff and cold, and laid him in the grave. She thought, "The last respects I can do to my darling child is come and embalm him." And now they've took him away. And she was standing there weeping. That little mother standing there weeping, sobbing, all the weakest moment. That is the moment when Mary was at her weakest. Notice that the church bride will come to a time when she will be very weak, looking at that son that was born of her, looking at everything they would have done to Revelation 11. "Why weepest thou, woman?" was the voice behind her. She thought it was the caretaker at the graveyard, said, "Oh, they've took away." She couldn't even turn around. She was so weak. She said, "I've been up now all these 3 days and nights. I stood and watched the crucifixion. I watched my own darling that I know was the Son of God." That will be a worldwide sign. The sign of the two olive trees. It will take place before the presence of the world. I know he was, and yet they looked the other way and him behind, and they took him away and they crucified him. I seen him raise the dead from the grave. I seen him do miracles after miracles. And I know the Holy Spirit. Now notice, she will have seen by that time all those miracles that the Reverend William Branham saw in the 10th vision. People who have members of the body missing. People with different diseases being healed there. She would then be able to say the same thing that Mary said. He goes on to say, God knows my heart. I was innocent of anything, and the Holy Spirit gave me that baby without knowing a man. How I know that it was true. And I see in him this grace, and strike his clothes from him, and hang him up there, and strip him down. He died the horriblest death. I love him, I don't care what done to him. I still want to bury him. I want to give him the right kind of burial. And they've took him away. I've been days after days, my heart's broken. I'm just standing in this condition. I don't know what they've done with my Lord. Brother Branham says that she spent 3 days and three nights awake there. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now notice, she was watching those days. Those days will be very important days. And although they would be for any person difficult days, let us say of defeat, but they are days of joy. They are days where Brother Branham says that it will be glad days of rejoicing. Page 400. Let us see where it says. On page 428 on the Book of the Seals, at the bottom it says, for we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice lays, and then it's over. There is no more hope for the world. She is finished. Then she goes into fluctuations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. And as Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're watching for that glad day to arrive. Notice, apparently, it will be a very difficult time, terrible time, hard time of sadness, of affliction, and all those things. But the elect of God will already be aware that all of that is going to work and will work for good. Take your children under your arm, Father, now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom, granted, and feed them on the word till they are strengthened for service. We commit them to you now, Lord. Now, our brother Branham continues to say here, and I seen him this grace, and strike his clothes from him, and hang him up there, and strip him down. He died the horriblest death. I love him. I don't care what done to him. I still want to bury him. I want to give him the right kind of burial. And there took him away. I've been days after day, my heart broken. I'm just standing in this condition. I don't know what they've done with my Lord. He said, Mary. And then she was strong. Amen. Go tell my disciples I meet them in Galilee. Oh my. In the weakest, then we're made strong. When you're weak, that's when you become strong. Peter, after he was out there fishing, his occupation was fishing. I kind of like his occupation. And so he was out there fishing. Brother Miguel used to be a fisherman. He was a fisherman. All discouraged, know that he had denied Christ. Back then, where in the part we used to be before, in the first land with the tent, our brother Paris who departed with the Lord, he used to live there, Rafael Paris, Sister Sonia's husband. And he was a fisherman also. Sometimes he would take us to an island. Brother Miguel also went there fishing. And to be there on an island close to Puerto Rico. And our brother Julio Cruz would take us there. And sometimes Miguel would come and we would all go. My dad, Paris, Brother Miguel. I don't know if Humberto Balvin went also. We would go there to that place a few days. And our brother Paris, Rafael Paris, had a casting fishing net. He also had fishing line to fish with hooks. And we'd fish there in a little boat. We would go first on a bigger one and then we'll drag it with another one. Julio would pull it with a rope and drag it along until we reach that island. And there, well, we would go out in the little boat. But first, right at the shore, from the shore of the island, we would cast a net. He had a net. And he had something else that has a name. The one that is like, there is two of them. He had two. One that you can grab it on the center and the weights are at the bottom. That is called the casting fishing net. You put one of the weights in your mouth and here under your leg, you lay down like, raise it up a little bit and you put half the weights on one side and the other half on the other and you just throw it and let go that weight that you have in your mouth. And then it opens up while it's in the air. And the boat, where right there at the shore where you go fishing. And then with that rope, you pull it back. You first let it go, the weights go down, and then whatever falls in it is yours. That's the fishing net. And then when we went in, then we'll cast the other one, which is the one that has some buoys around it, along it, and it's a long distance, and you have to prepare it. We would prepare it on the dock, and then we would lay it all the way into deep sea. That was during the night. And in the morning, we would go with a little boat, and we would race it up to grab the fishes that would be caught there. And then that net, the one that has the weights, that one also have weights at the bottom and floats at the top. It is like a curtain, let us say, but with holes. And on top the floats, and at the bottom the weights, so we can pull down. The casting fishing net has only weights at the bottom and the net, and then a rope in the center. And since we were kids, sometimes we would take it from the wooden house. We would take it from where the back, where Paris had it on that wooden house. And we would go to the river, here to the one behind us, La Plata. And we would fish. Or at least it looked like we were fishing. We would cast a net, and sometimes they have thrown things in the river and would get hooked and would get stuck. We would pull, and many times it would get stuck, and to get it out was difficult. If not, we would go fishing with line. We went through all of this when we were kids. Now notice how Peter here, that occupation he had of fishing, it says, and so he was out there fishing, all discouraged, know that he had denied Christ. Oh my. Heard that prophet stand there and tell him, Peter, do you say you love me? He said, oh Lord, you know I love you. He said, I love you. I'm ready to die for you. He said, Peter, you think you mean that? But you'll deny me three times before. You deny me before the cock crows the third time. See? you deny me thrice before the cock crows. And then seeing that come to pass, when he stood there and said, I don't know him. Nope, I don't know nothing about them, they're Pentecostals. Said, I know I denied him. I denied him in the presence of Pilate. I denied him in the presence when that little woman came around to me and said, aren't you one of them? Nope. And even cursed. Notice, when they turn to the world, they end up speaking badly. Oh, he was in a terrible shape. Said, I denied, he had denied him. And he had seen Jesus stand and look over. Then is when the cock crowed. Look over at Peter. He went out. Oh, he was discouraged with himself. Said, why do I live any longer? And then beside that, that was after they crucified the Lord, that Peter felt like that. And then beside that, he said, I'll think I'll go back and go fishing again. I can't preach anymore, so I'll just go back and start fishing. He had thrown his net in and cast all night long, didn't have no fish, and he was at a weak spot. He didn't have nothing, discouraged with himself, come to the end of his abilities. Well, he thought he was a great man, chopped the high priest's son's ear off like that. Well, he thought he was a great fellow, you know, he had learned something, but he knowed nothing. He had to forget all about it. And there he was out there, said, well, I know one thing, I'm a fisherman. I can still make a living, fishing. He cast all night and didn't get nothing. Oh, what a discourage. Every time he pulled it up, an empty net. And he was so discouraged. He was at the weakest point. Said, I just might as well feel like jumping off this boat. I ain't worth nothing, anyhow. He said, have you got any fish, children? Look out on the bank. And there stood a man. He said, no, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. I thought I was a fisherman. Is that you, Simon? Yeah. Well, I toiled all night and taken nothing. Oh, we ain't got no fish out here. He said, well, cast your net on the other side. And there Peter answered, we've done what? Then he was shouting, on the other side, we've been doing that. Cast it on the other side. He throwed his net out and he pulled. He said, then he becomes strong. Oh my. He grabbed up his old fish coat and put it around him, said, brethren, that's who it is. And he beat the rest of them to the bank. Before they could oar them boats just as fast as they could, he outswarm them with a fishing coat, got to the bank. That is Peter. Why? He was strong. When he was strong, he couldn't do nothing. But when he got weak, then he got strong. Yes, sir. Oh, God's tragedy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Now, just a little bit and we'll go. Like at Pentecost. At Pentecost, what did he do? He taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. Notice, it took them 10 days to get them empty up. Who? Those who were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit in that double portion, in everything that God promised, that the church bride at this end time would be receiving if you have things of the world. You have to empty up first for them to be filled by God. You cannot have that vessel with things from the world and mix the things of God inside. It would look like a murky vessel, and it cannot be a murky vessel. It has to be a full, crystal clear glass. But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up. We have to be willing to many things, willing to give up many things to receive all the promises that God has for this end time. Whatever has to be done, we will do it. It will be done. because we are willing to empty ourselves completely, to be filled in all the fullness of God, to be completely filled with Him. And God took Himself and filled them up. That's all. They shook the world, poured Himself into them. That's the need of today. That's what we need today, is the empty vessels. Yes, sir. So God can fill them up. And you cannot take them. I got to bypass a lot here. God cannot use them as long as they're already filled up. If you're full of theological training, God can't use you. God has got to have empty vessels so He can fill them. God can't use you. God has got to have empty vessels so He can fill them. And he writes there. Oh, let's continue reading a little further on. Now Elijah didn't say, God get some vessels and borrow a lot of oil, and we'll see if we can't get a good sale price on it. And you get a little more and you can pay the neighbor back like that. He said, just get empty vessels. That's all you need. That's what it was at Pentecost. They had empty vessels so God could fill them up. Brother, this day demands that. This day got to have that. We'll have that or perish. I'm going to close now. Listen, we've got to have that or perish. And he writes, at Pentecost, God filled the empty vessels. Now notice, the strategy of God, it is to take empty human vessels and shake this world with them. Now, our brother William goes on to say, if you knew all that there is in the adoption, one day I will explain it to you with more time. Now, that part of shaking the world. Notice, this excerpt here from the message or from this book of quotations on page 29, paragraph 249, it says, I believe that the Church of the Living God is moving into a sphere now that is going to shake the whole world. On page 29 at the bottom, there he writes, the worldwide shaking. I turn to page 30. Oh, it's going to come to pass pretty soon. I'm looking for it to happen in this meeting. I am wanting it to happen now. That anointing will strike the whole Church of the Living God and she'll rise to her feet like a mighty marching army. The sick will be healed by a word. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised up, and the power of God will shake the world with the Church of the Living God. We're in the process of it now. Above, he writes, speak the word, the tenth vision. And on the right, he also writes, the resurrection. He wrote that above that paragraph. And on the left, there also, in the middle of that paragraph, off to where we read, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And also on page 49, he tells us, from paragraph 423, it says, look, this is the one. The one that, notice how we ended up there. That's the one I was looking for a few moments ago. It says, and when God comes again, when Jesus comes again, you'll be surprised. That little washwoman back in the alley. You'll be surprised, that guy that don't say nothing, keeping his secret to himself and walking around before God humble. Now notice, from this one, I had it written in that little paper on the side, and we ended up there on the one I was looking for. Thank you, Lord. We found that one. Now it's here in this study. Now notice, at something important here. it says. You'll be surprised. That guy don't say nothing, keeping his secrets to himself. Remember when Brother Branham says that if one keeps the revelation in his heart and stays quiet, we spoke it about in these days, that is prudence. Now notice, keeping his secrets to himself and walking around before God humble, you'll be surprised. I preached not long ago at the judgment, the surprises at the judgment. He won't be surprised to see the bootlegger there. He knows he's going. That is, to the judgment. Sure. Won't be surprised to see the liar, the adulterer, everything there. That ain't. But the surprise will be, and the disappointment will be, those who think they were going, and then be turned down. Those who said, well, wait a minute, my mother belonged to this church, my father belonged to this church, my grandfather and grandmother. I've been a member there all my life. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. Notice, it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. That shows mercy. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't even know you. Now notice, he also says here, and there he writes on 4:23, on top of it he writes, the coming of the Lord. And in 4:14 on page 48 it says, there is a great shaking amongst the elect, great powerful thing going on, but the world knows nothing of it. And so is the gospel today, great. And the gospel is shaking like it's never shook before, but it's shaken in the remnant. And there on the right, he writes, Revelation 4:1. On top, Revelation 1:10 to 11. That's right, fixing them ready. And I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And there he writes, door, Christ. And looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice I heard was a voice of a trumpet. The voice was the same voice that walked in the seven golden candlesticks. Same voice. The voice didn't change. Now, after he showed him all the mystery of them seven golden candlesticks, holding the seven stars and a white wig on, and so forth, and feet like brass, and eyes like fire, the symbols, then he heard the same voice. Watch. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And he writes on top of the cornerstone, heaven, that is on the right. Then he heard the same voice, watch, speaking from heaven. And at the top he writes, a great shaking. Now, our brother William goes on to say, if you knew all that there is in the adoption, but one day I will explain it to you with more time. Everything is sealed there. Our transformation, the rapture, and all the other things depend on the adoption. On the adoption. Notice, on that one, the first one. With that one, all the rest who will be loving his coming would also receive that promise, because our transformation, the rapture, and all other things depend on that. Oh Lord, says Brother Branham, when the bride recognizes her position, when she knows what she is, then the rapture will take place. And remember that the rapture is a revelation, preparing ourselves for the fulfillment of the prophecies. Let us stand and thus leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.